It was about a year ago when my interest in the environment and the urgency of climate change pushed me into dedicating more and more time and more programs to the issue. Lately, it's become difficult to pick out and highlight all the times Pope Benedict XVI has appealed for the safeguard of creation and underlined the urgency of taking action. That's because more and more often, he's expressing his belief that it's up to us, now, to do something to stop causing damage to the natural world. He spoke about it earlier this month in his address to an encounter of youth in Loreto.
Alle nuove generazioni ha affidato il futuro del pianeta, in cui sono evidenti segni.
The future of the planet, he said, is entrusted to the new generations, in which one can see the signs of a development that has not always respected the delicate balances of nature.
Occorre adottare scelte coraggiose che sappiano ricreare.
Before it's too late, he continued, we need to adopt courageous choices which can recreate a strong alliance between man and the earth. The Pope said that what is needed is to invert those trends that risk creating irreversible, degrading situations. And all around the world, more and more parishes and church-based organizations are taking up the challenge of involving and engaging the faithful in initiatives and events aimed at raising awareness and taking action in the safeguard of creation. Sound of Many Waters, that takes place at Clifton Cathedral in Bristol, England, is one such event. I spoke to the woman who inspired it. She's Mary Colwell, a Clifton Cathedral parishioner, BBC natural history producer, and passionate ecological campaigner.
The Sound of Many Waters is a year of events based in Clifton that have a local focus but also look to the bigger, wider world. And what we're trying to do over this year is look at different aspects of the human relationship with the natural world. And so it's a way of exploring, not just in a very worthy way, but in a fun way, and in a family way, and in a contemplative way, how people in the natural world actually fit together. So it's a year of exploration.
This coming Saturday, that's Saturday the 29th of September, is actually the day the event will be launched. I asked Mary to tell me exactly what the day programme foresees, and who's invited to participate.
On Saturday, there will be a special launch of just for 45 minutes, where I'll show a film that I've made, a short film, which has bishops from around the world, intercut with beautiful footage from the Natural History Unit, and also from leading scientists around the world, commenting on how important it is that science and religion get together, and that we can together create a completely dynamic duo that will be able to save the world. We can't do it on our own. We have to do it together. And so on that film, there are people like Bishop Winsky from America, Bishop Chris Toohey from Australia, Cardinal O'Brien from Scotland. We have on there the head of WWF International, chief scientist for the World Bank, E.O. Wilson, the renowned biologist. And I've cut together comments from all those people with very beautiful natural history footage to give an overall picture of the bigness of this, of the importance, the way that the big thinkers of the world, both scientific and religious, are coming to the same conclusion, that it's only together, through our understanding of how the world works and through our spiritual insight, can we come up with an answer.
Now, you mentioned leaders of all kinds who have to come together. Pope Benedict XVI has expressed his concern for the environment more and more insistently in the past few months. In his words, he's called for a strengthened alliance between mankind and the environment in the promotion of common good. Now, are, do you think, religious leaders beginning to speak out on the dramatic climate change crisis, and how important is it that they do so?
I don't think it's important. I think it's absolutely vital that they do so. Because if we just take a route that seems obvious through science or through technology or through very practical ways of doing things, I don't think that we'll come up with the right answers. I think that's only part of the story. I think what has to come is the religious insight that you can only get through a contact with something much greater than yourself. And I think through that humility, through what good religion gives to people, is a sense of real humility, of our own smallness, I think, in the face of this great vast universe. Without that sense of humility, without that sense of wisdom and listening and taking time to think and praying about it, I don't think that we'll be able to apply what we've got through science and technology to the best advantage. I think it's absolutely essential that we do the two together, because we won't solve this on our own. We have to solve this in conjunction with the scientists, but also in conjunction with God.
But Mary, more specifically, what is this special contribution the church and its leaders have to give?
I think that it has a special contribution on quite a few levels, actually. One of them is something which is not talked about at the moment. Everybody is in an absolute panic and in a rush. And if we don't do something now, it's all going to go down the pan. And I think what religion brings is a sense of time, a sense of that there is, you know, more haste, less speed, isn't there, is the old saying. And in a way, that's a very religious insight. That unless we take time to pray about, unless we take time to think it through, unless we take time to work out what's going on, nothing will happen well. And I think religion puts the brakes on a bit, not in terms of the urgency that we need to do something, but the best way to do it, and that's never in a panic. We never do things well if you do it quickly and thoughtlessly. The second thing that religion brings is a sense of joy, and that despite the problems, this world is absolutely amazing, is absolutely fantastic. And the sense of joy and celebration and reveling in the wonder of the natural world is very much a part of what religious tradition can bring. And that's really important for the human spirit, to have that sense of joy and wonder. I think it also brings, I think Catholicism does this beautifully, is bring a sense of forgiveness. That there is something to be sorry about here. There is a lot that the human race has done which has caused irreparable damage, serious damage, destruction of species and habitat. As we all know from the Catholic point of view, that requires forgiveness. And that's then an incredibly empowering thing, because you can then move forward. It's very hard to move forward if you're feeling terribly guilty all the time. And I think that religion and Catholicism understands that beautifully. And the secular world at the moment has no mechanism for allowing people to actually say, we're sorry. And I think that's a very human thing that it brings. It also brings one other thing, which is vitally important, I think. Take away climate change, take away extinction of species, take away habitat destruction, take away all the problems. We still have to work out our relationship to the natural world. Even if there was no problem out there, we would have to know and understand who we are in relationship to the rest of the living creation. And I think that's what religion helps us to focus on. The fact is that we have a relationship that is apart from problems, and that we need to refocus on that relationship and work out what that relationship is. If we get that right, the problems will go away.
But religion and the church don't always have the same pace, do they? The church, after all, is propelled by men. Don't you think, I asked Mary, that it's taken the church a rather long time to bring the environmental issue to the forefront?
It has, in one way. I mean, I think John Paul spoke very beautifully about it. Way back, even in the 70s, he was saying things, which is when the environmental movement really started to kick in, and he was listening back then. I agree it's taken a long time to get to this point. It's taken a long time for concrete action. I mean, Catholic Earth Care Australia were the first Catholic environmental organisation, and they formed 5 years ago. It is slow, but but to be honest, I don't think the Catholic Church ever does anything particularly quickly. And the fact that it has, over the last few years, really started now, and over the last few months and weeks, started to say big things that will help really focus people's minds, is amazing. And I don't think, to be honest, I don't want to worry about should it have happened before. I'm just so glad that it's happening now. And I think it is in time. And I think the church knows that there's so much it can do and should do. It's not a matter of an add-on. It's not like, oh, the church ought to look at this as an extra. I think there's a whole realization that this is actually central to who we are and what we do.
Mary, you've often had the experience of giving talks in parish environments, in church environments. How do the faithful react to your words of warning and of encouragement?
Really wonderfully. I mean, I think that's the one thing. I couldn't sleep last night. I was lying in bed thinking, am I hopeful about the future? And, you know, I really, really am. And I think it's because, not because of popes and bishops and church institutions, but because of people. I think this two-legged mammal that's walking around on this earth has caused a lot of problems, for sure. But we're also made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore capable of the most amazing things. And all the people that I've met on my talks, and particularly recently when I've been doing joint talks with Bishop Chris Tuohy, the sense of people grabbing this and understanding it and wanting to take it forward and being so open to it all is what gives you the hope. If, you know, it will happen because people are people. It will do. And I think people have the potential to be absolutely great in this, and I don't doubt that we'll do it.
One last thing about Sound of Many Waters. As you were saying, it's going to be a year-long event. Who can participate, and how do you hope it will contribute to Christian engagement?
Anybody can participate, anybody of any age, any background, anywhere they live, any faith, it really doesn't matter. Anybody can come and take part in the events that we've got set up through the year, and everybody is welcome. What will it contribute? I think we'll have done our job if we keep the reminder that this change has to come from inside people's hearts. It can't be imposed from the outside by government. I mean, it can be helped to keep us, but it can't be, you know, taxes and laws and regulations will only go so far. The change will only happen if it comes from people's hearts. And if Sound of Many Waters keeps that there, keeps that constant reminder to people that this is about a change of heart and about a new way of looking at the world, then we'll have put a big tick in that box. It's there as a kind of hope, I think, and a hope and a reminder that this is a very spiritual thing that we're trying to do, and that it's always in people's minds. And if it is in people's minds for a year, well, maybe it'll stay there for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But if we've done that, then I'll be incredibly pleased.
In conclusion, with its capacity to draw on Catholic teachings, insights and networks, Sound of Many Waters wants to engage as many people it can to help restore the world and fill it with the sound of many waters flowing together.
I'd hope what we do in Clifton might make other people think, wherever they are around the world, that they can do something the same. Maybe not the same, but, you know, whatever suits them in their circumstances. And that everything is worth doing. And I hope they do that too.